So today our subject is breakthrough abundance. Breakthrough abundance. Now, the good thing about this is you all now know after 7.5 years, almost 8 years, I don't personally choose what we're going to talk about. So I didn't plan to talk about breakthrough abundance. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with Pastor Trina just a few days ago, a couple days ago, and she would be able to tell you for sure there's no way I would plan to talk about breakthrough abundance. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that's what we're going to talk about today. And breakthrough abundance comes as a result of relationship. I want you to understand it's about relationship. Amen?
Amen.
And it's about handling your business properly. Amen. Anybody not handling their business properly, I encourage you to get it right. But neither of those two on their own are about what I'm trying to teach you today. You have to add to that a pinch of breakthrough giving. You cannot have breakthrough abundance without breakthrough giving. Amen?
Amen.
And it will be fueled by purpose. All of what you do needs to be fueled by purpose if you're doing it in God or for God or in representation of God. Purpose and love. It's got to also have love and gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And lastly, humility. What does this mean? Does this mean walking around with your head down, Eeyore, nothing good ever happens to me? No. I didn't say pessimism. I didn't say negativism. I didn't say feudalism. What I'm saying is understanding where you end and where God begins. That's the humility I'm talking about. Realizing, recognizing who he is and what he's done in your life and what you are supposed to do. You're going to put it on God. That's actually arrogance. You do it. I don't need to do it. You work for me. No, you have a part to play. You should focus on a good relationship with God. Amen. He wants to have a relationship with you. You have to want that close, enhanced relationship with him. And you've got to handle your business. Amen. Handle your business. And then the breakthrough giving, which I'm excited to talk to you about. Now, if you focus on the goal of abundance, then you missed it. We're talking about breakthrough abundance, right? But if you focus on the stuff, if you focus on the thing, if you focus on the outcome and you're not focused on relationship and handling your business and breakthrough giving, you're going to miss it. You've already missed it. As a matter of fact, I told you this is about breakthrough abundance, but if your focus now is only on the breakthrough abundance and you didn't hear me when I said relationship and you didn't hear me when I said handle your business and you didn't hear me when I said breakthrough giving, you've already missed it. You need to go back, put it in reverse, go back to the beginning and start all over. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's not our focus. Our focus is relationship with God. Our focus is obedience with God, making sure that he is proud of us. That's what it's all about. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So with purpose and love and gratitude and humility, you have an enhanced relationship with God. And if you add to that handling your business and breakthrough giving, you can't help but. It doesn't matter if you're trying to. It doesn't matter if you plan to. You will experience breakthrough. Through abundance. You need to know this. You need to know this. If you do these things, God is just waiting. I don't care how high the mountain looks. I don't care how big the deep the ditch looks. I don't care how bad the storm waves are. It's going to happen. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it works. You need to know this. If you already know it, shout hallelujah. But if you don't, then you need to know and you need to be able to teach this to someone else. Hallelujah. We're talking about breakthrough abundance. There's nothing wrong with abundance. Abundance is a good thing. But you know what? If what we learned in Proverbs, or maybe it was Ecclesiastes, a guy says, you know what, Lord, I want you to bless me because I don't want to become a thief. I want you to give me, meet my needs because I don't want to be tempted to become a thief. But please don't bless me with too much because I can't handle it. Please bless me with enough because I'm human and I need to eat and I don't want to become a thief. But you know what? Woo, don't give me too much because I ain't ready. I know it will spoil me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen for wisdom.
Amen.
Now, when we talked about the few things that are critical for breakthrough abundance, we talked about relationship. You understand relationship with God, right?
Amen.
And I'm sure you understand what it means to handle your business. You may not always know how to. You may not always know what to do. You may need some help, but you do understand what I'm talking about. Handling your business properly. Amen?
Amen.
When you handle your business, it seems like you have more money, doesn't it? It's the same amount of money. But when you handle your business, suddenly the same amount looks like more. Because you find out all the places that money went. That you made it go. By the way, it didn't go by itself. Ain't nobody put a hole in your gas tank. You made it go there. You made choices. You go back and interview yourself. Hey, self, what were you thinking? Who were you trying to please? Who were you trying to impress? What were you trying to accomplish? Who were you not listening to? Who were you listening to? Maybe you were listening to somebody that wanted to get, it was all about prosperity. Maybe you were listening to somebody. I got into trouble about from prosperity preaching, by the way. Fred Price's church used to preach prosperity, and I ran into one of his people. And they talked me into this craziness, and then I had to have a fancy car as a freshman in college because all the other rich people had it, right? But I was told, hey, I'm supposed to have it. I can speak it into existence. And you know what? I've messed up my life and somebody's credit. Mm-hmm. Off of that foolishness. Because you know what? You can have stuff. That doesn't mean it's good for you. So if you focus on the stuff, you can have anything you want in life. You just can't have everything you want in life. Oh, but anything you want to have, you got to have. Oh, you will make sure you have it. And God will step back and let you trip and fall. And then you can pay the price. So I'm not talking about prosperity preaching here. I'm talking about abundance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm talking about breakthrough abundance. But it comes from folks who are not focused on, who ain't got to have more, because you got more than enough. You have to have a heart along with that. Humility is contentment. If you're not content and you're crotchety and you're upset and you got to have more, you're complaining, you go to God with your supplications, but without the attitude of gratitude, when you're not telling him a list of things that he's already done for you and all he's telling you is, what have you done for me lately? Let me just tell you, that's not what I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to teach to actually come from a place of contentment with what God has given you and using what he's given you properly, and that you cannot outrun his abundance. Try it. I don't care what tennis shoes you buy. I don't care how much weight you lose so you can move fast. It won't work. You cannot outrun it. Hallelujah. So we're talking about breakthrough abundance. It comes from breakthrough giving. What is breakthrough giving? You may know about relationship. You may know about a little bit about handling your business properly. But Pastor, what is breakthrough giving? It's really simple. It means giving more. Look at your neighbor and say, giving more.
Giving more.
The pastor says breakthrough giving is giving more. Now, is that simple enough? Or should I go into the Greek or the Hebrew? Giving more. Anybody participate in great breakthrough giving? You'll understand a little bit more what I mean by what I just said in a few minutes. It's so exciting to give more. So breakthrough giving is simply giving more because. Giving more because of your love that represents your relationship with God, because of that relationship, because giving more because of your purpose, giving more because of your gratitude, giving more because of humility, understanding where you end and where God begins, understanding there's this much of you and that much of God. Understanding those things, giving out of that. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say giving more in order to get more. I did not say that. That's prosperity preaching. That's pull a lever and God drops money out of the slot machine. That's vending machine stuff. That's not what I'm trying to teach you this morning. Amen?
Amen.
So how much more? How much more do you want me to give, Pastor? Well, I gave you all the plus 1% challenge. I gave everybody a challenge to give 1% more. Now, I'm assuming almost all of us, hopefully all of us, are tithe payers, tithe givers, rather. So then that means 11%, right? At least 11%. But if you weren't given 10%, you were given 5%. Well, then give 6%. But the 1% more challenge. Now, I don't know exactly who took me up on that offer, but that's an example of if it comes from the right place, the love and the purpose and the gratitude and humility, then it will lead to, if you handle your business properly, breakthrough abundance. You can try to outrun it. You can try to avoid it. You can try to, it's going to happen. Just trying to tip, trying to told you. Hallelujah. So how much more? That's up to your relationship with God. Now, I gave you a 1% challenge. But it comes out of a recognition of where your provision comes from. It comes out of trusting God. Do you actually trust God? Do you actually understand that He knows best? Do you actually understand that He won't see you in a tough situation and not care? Do you understand that ain't no mountain high enough? Do you know who you're working with? Do you trust that He can, bam? And if He doesn't, bam, it's because what happened from the moment you knew that He knew your need and the time that He meets that need, He wanted you to experience something. He wanted you to learn something. He wanted you to come out knowing something. Something good for you and something you can contribute to others. So, oh my God, it takes too long. Oh my God, this is so painful. Oh my God, I don't deserve this. Oh, this is so hard. Why is there a gap between you knowing that He knows your need and that need being fulfilled? The experience you're supposed to have. The knowledge you're supposed to gain. The humility that you might have needed that you didn't start out with. Are we learning? Either we're living it or we're learning it. And maybe we're living it and learning it. Maybe there's a little something more here for you. You already knew a whole lot of it. Maybe you're living it. Maybe you're benefiting from it. But something here belongs to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about the recognition of where provision comes from. Trusting God. And then, as important, maybe more important than all, a desire. Say desire. A desire. I want you to imagine something that you desire in life. I want you to imagine something you really want. I want you to imagine something you're willing to sacrifice for, or maybe you have sacrificed for. I want you to think about that feeling of desire. We're talking about here a desire to give more. Like when you're early in your relationship with somebody you fall in love with, you want to give more, not less. And then you get to a point, you're worried about being used, and now you just start trying to do the minimum. Or you get lazy, or you get, complacent. You start taking them for granted, and you want to do just enough. You never would have done that in the beginning. A desire, not an obligation to give more, not because you can give more. I'm in a position to give more. I said a desire. I was so excited to give more this morning. I was so excited, and I'm even more excited about giving even more. I hope it's not just me, but I'm overflowing at the moment. I could run around this building right about now. I'm talking about a desire to give more. A desire to give more. So recognition of where your provision comes from. Do we have that clear? Do we know where it comes from? If you forget, all you got to do is drop that hedge. Ooh, drop that hedge. Let me just tell you, you don't want Him to drop the hedge.
Right.
You don't want it. Have you ever had a hedge dropped on you? I have. Woo! You don't want to go back there. Trusting God. Truly trusting. Let go. Trusting God. He lifts your arm up. Let it drop. He lifts your arm up. Let it drop. Trust him. He's got this. He lifts your arm up. Let it drop. It should be going, what was it, 9.6 meters per second? Per second. It should drop as fast as gravity would make it drop, which means if I had a microphone over here, it should drop the same speed. So trusting God and then a desire to give more because of the relationship. You have people you want to give more to, don't you? You want to give more to your kids, and you don't always do it, but it's only for good reasons. If you hold back, it's only for their own good. It's only for good reasons. But we're talking about you're desiring to give more. There are some folks you don't want to give more to. There's some folks you wouldn't sacrifice for, and you have your reasons. We're talking, I want you to get into the frame of mind of emotion of when you want to give more. Do you feel that way about God? This is what helps you. This is what leads you to breakthrough giving, which leads to breakthrough abundance. But you know what? You all googly-eyed about God. You all hard pitter-patter about God, not about what he can give you. Are you with me? Amen. It is not based on how much you have, by the way. Your ability to have breakthrough giving and breakthrough abundance does not matter. It's not based on where you start. It's not based on where God finds you when your heart starts beating that way. It's not based on what you have in your pocket or in your bank account at that moment. Right. It's based on your willingness to act. Teach somebody. It's based on your willingness. I don't care where they live. I don't care what they drive. I don't care what their education is. I don't care how much they have in the bank. That has nothing to do with it. Right. Now, that may give them some built-in excuses that they want, but it has nothing to do with it. It's only based on their willingness to act, their willingness to do something different, their willingness to change, their willingness to actually step out and give more. How much more, Pastor? That's between you and God. I'll put out a challenge out there. I want to say, let's be 11 percenters. How about that? And that's at least 11%, because somebody will hear that and say, "Whoa, I'm glad he didn't say 12, and could give 12. You missed it. You don't qualify at that point. If you're glad I didn't say 12, you fail. You're not there. You're not there. But if you're in the right place, you'd be like, "Man, I wish you just said 12. I wish you just said 15, because that means that's the kind of place God is ready for me to be at. And ooh, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to try to run out the 11% blessing. Woo! 15? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I wish you'd have said 15. Woo! I wish you'd have said 15. Man. Pastor, can you read my mind? Say 15. Ooh. It's about your willingness to act. It's not about where you start. Now, quickly, we don't have a time limit. I'm trying. I got to be thoughtful. Apply all of this to what I just went through. Just apply it. Just apply it. My willingness to act, my willing to be obedient. I know where my provision comes from. I know where every position I got came from, because it ain't because I ran and they saw my merits and gave it to me. On the front end, that's for sure. Trusting God and desiring to do more to make a difference. Desiring to give more. Amen? So let's go to the scripture. By the way, I want you to consider these verses in terms of what I'm talking to you about, what I'm teaching you this morning. These are not the text yet. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6 and 38. Luke 6 and 38. You know this verse. Amen. I want you to consider these verses because of what we're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen when you have it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it reads, give. Do you have a comma? in your Bible. That's a pause. It stands alone, and then it's going to be commented on after that. So give is your part to the equation. So your job is on the left side of the comma. You don't have none of the right side has none, is none of your business. Okay, it's not with something that you do. So give, and it what
shall be.
Might be,
shall be,
could be,
shall be,
possibly.
Shall
be given unto who?
You.
Good measure. Not like kind of sort of maybe eh. No. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. So it's not going to drop out of the sky and nobody knew how it got. God's going to use people to do it. Hallelujah. They may or may not be happy that they did it, but he's going to use people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. So what is he saying here? He's saying, how much, Pastor? How much more? Well, depend on how much more you have to give. Let me just tell you, the more you give, be ready. Try that 1%. And you may not even be able to handle 5% more. Well, Lord, no, I'd like to give it to you, but I can't handle that. I want to give you more, but woo, Lord, you bring it too strong. So give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Not. Pressed down, shaken together. That means there ain't no more room. You get this kind of blessing, you're like, oh my God, it's too much. Let's go to Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. I'm taking my time in teaching you this morning because you need to have this because you need to teach somebody else unless you're already living it. And if you're already living it, you're probably still learning something. Malachi 3 and 10. We're talking about breakthrough abundance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bring ye all the tithes. Does it say some of the tithes? All of the tithe. Now, if you're not giving all of the tithe, you're giving 5%, then my challenge is to give 6%, which is going to lead to 7%. If it's coming from that place, oh, it's going to go up. Oh, yes, because there will be more. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and what? Prove me therewith. In other words, if I want you to give it like you're supposed to give it, test me, try me. You know, when in the streets, when you say that, it means, yeah, you, try me. I wish you would. Man, I want you to. So bad, because I got so much I want to unleash, but I was taught not to hit first. Oh, I wish you would. Please. Imagine that feeling now. Imagine you've been in that place somewhere in your life. Somewhere. Maybe you weren't going to hit somebody. Maybe you were going to say something. Maybe you were going to tell something that you know that everybody should know about that person, and you've been holding back. You've been holding your tongue. Whatever it is, we don't have to be physical violence. The point is, ooh, I wish you would. Imagine that. This is God saying, try me. So he says, prove me now herewith, with your giving, saith the Lord of hosts, and what will I do? Test me out. Hold me to my word. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there what shall not be room enough to receive it. Just try me. Just try me. Just give me the 10%. I gave you 100. I'm just asking for 10% back. I gave you the best deal you're ever going to have. You had nothing. You were nothing. You are nothing without me. I gave you what you have. I'm just asking for the, test me on the 10% and see what I won't do. It will rain on you in sheets, not drops. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This will sound very familiar to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Amen, amen, amen. I'll read it for you. Now to him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I want you to imagine what you could ask for. I want you to imagine what you could think. And he can do more than that. And he will do more than that. What would you ask for? What would you think? Lord, I'm in this tough situation. If you can just solve it in 5 years, then I can live my life like everybody else. Guess what? He can do better than that. He can do better than that. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant beyond what you can hope or think, let alone being careful for nothing in prayer and supplication, making your request known to God. Guess who you're requesting from? You're requesting from him that is able to do way beyond what you could possibly ask. And then we can look at Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. You don't have to go there because I'll tell you what that's about. That's about the widow's mite. You got this wealthy person and they're able to give, you know, a certain amount of city, give 10%. Oh, my God, you know, I'm a tither. Isn't that great? I make $1 zillion and I'm going to give a tenth of a zillion. So I'm cool. I'm great. I'm financing the pews in this place. I pay your salary, pastor. You know, this is church stuff I'm talking about. And then a little widow gave a little mite, a little nothing. But her offering was 100%. 100% of a little bit is more to God than 10% of a lot of bit. Amen. So it's not about where you start. The widow was poor. It's not about where you start. It's not about what's in your bank account. It's about what's in your heart account. It's about what's in your love account. It's about what's in your relationship bank and how much it wants desperately to gush out. This is what I hope I'm coming across. Lord have mercy. So the widow's mite. How much, pastor? Well, what if I said 100%? You look at TBN and all that, and folks say, God told me to give it all away. Okay. Jesse Duplantis and all those guys. God told me to give it all away. Okay. If that's true and that's real, if they're real about that, then I know. The planes, cars, motorcycles, I don't know if they're legit or not. I do know that what they're talking about is real. And then when they give the testimony, it should be really a testimony trying to get God to do people to do the right thing and not focus on the abundance. That's the key. That is the key. Listen carefully. Are they talking about relationship? Or are they talking about the stuff? Hallelujah. Now we're getting ready to go to the text in a second. A key question, first of all, though, is this. Would you give more if you had more? Would you give more if you had more? We all say most of us would like to have more. And if it ain't for you, you'd like to have more so you can give to others. And if you don't have that heart, then don't get all huffed up about you know, you're good. Okay? No, I'm fine. I'm settled. I'm happy with what I have. I don't need more. If you don't have a heart to give more, if you don't have a heart for others, then you're still not at the top level. I'm content. Well, if you're just completely content, you're still not where you really need to be because you're not an investment. There's no return. It just sticks. It doesn't leak out oil, but it doesn't multiply. Talk about the talents. You should be wanting to give more. And it's nearly impossible for you to want to give more to God and not want to do more for God. So would you give more if you had more? Now let's pay attention here. I'm not talking about would you give if you give and you make $100 and now you make $1,000, would you still give the 10%? I'm asking, would you give more if you had more? If you make, if I was to triple your income right now, would you change from 10% to 15%? Would you give more if you had more? Now, here's the crazy thing about it. The math, you can't beat God's math right there. And yet, if I asked, would you give more if you had more, your answer would be very important. Hallelujah. Very instructive. A couple key points. I think we all would agree that God can and will turn lack into abundance, as he turned lack into abundance in your life. Yes. Amen. He will turn lack into abundance. Yes. But we also need to recognize that abundance will only prevent future lack. Are you hearing me? Yes. Abundance. Now, you're starting with abundance. And it will only prevent future lack if the abundance is managed properly. So you can have abundance. Your future can actually be lack. The future of not having lack is not based on the abundance, because you can end up broke as a joke. It's how do you manage the abundance? Are you with me? So again, these breakthrough requirements are recognition and humility, realizing the truth about your situation. Anybody ever had to eventually finally give in and say, like Pastor Trina talked about, I get it. I recognize that I'm admitting what my real situation is. If you can't do this, you can't get to where we're trying to talk about. So if you're trying to tell somebody this and you haven't done it, not only are you a hypocrite, but you can't really teach them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Acceptance of wisdom. You can't get to where you can't get to this place. You can't get there without accepting the wisdom that God tries desperately to give to you through people.
Amen.
Willingness to change and allow somebody else's gifts to flow. I got to be willing to change and I got to let somebody else's gifts flow. Are you hearing me on this? Woo! Handling your business properly. If you don't know what that means or what it entails, ask somebody. And then breakthrough giving. What is breakthrough giving? Giving more. Giving more because. It's not complicated, but people often don't want to do it. Hallelujah. Now we can go to the text. Let's go to Genesis, Pastor Trina's favorite book. Genesis chapter 41. And the reason we go here is now I've already taught the subject to you. I've given you scriptural basis. I've hopefully given you good examples. I've hopefully given you enough meat on the bones that you can chew on later. I've hopefully given you something that you can use for yourself or have used for yourself, but now you can teach somebody else. And hopefully I've given you a little tidbit that you didn't already have. But as we go here to Genesis chapter 41, we're going to use as a case study, we're going to look at Joseph. We know a lot about Joseph's life. We know that he was this young, you know, favorite son, and his brothers hated him, and what they did to put him in a ditch, and they were going to kill him, and then they sold him off and brought his coat, that coat of many colors that they hated, all, and put some blood on it, and so his father would think that he was dead, and he ended up in Potiphar's house handling business. So he had a gift, by the way. He had a gift for administration. He had a gift with money. He handled his business. He also had integrity. And he ran out of his clothes to keep from being with that woman. And he ended up, all of his good work ended up worse situation. So he ended up in jail. But he had other gifts. the interpretation of dreams. And he's in jail and all the drudgery in the dungeon. But he had an appointed time, he had an appointed day, and he had a purpose. And so the king or the Pharaoh had dreams, right? He had two dreams, and he needed them interpreted. And what Joseph was able to tell him is that, well, what the dream is all about, Pharaoh, is the two dreams are one. Basically, the cows that came out of the river, the seven cows, it was basically representing 7 years of abundance. Those healthy cows that you saw, that's what that represents. And then after that, these ugly, thin, really bad, sickly looking cows came up. That's 7 years of terrible abundance. And then the sickly looking cows ate all of the healthy looking cows. And even after they ate the healthy looking cows, they still look like the ugliest, sickliest things, because it's going to be so much worse than the good was. Good. Whoa, really? So that's what my dreams meant? First of all, they were one dream about the same topic. So that's what's going to happen. Okay? So now, let's take a look at verse that we're talking chapter 41. Let's look at verse 34. So he's told him what the dream means, right? And now he says, so let Pharaoh do this. So now he's gone from a dream interpreter to an advisor. He's now going to use a different gift. From a dream interpretation, now he's going back to the same gift that he used in Potiphar's house. See what I'm saying? Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land. He wasn't asking to be, nor was he expecting to be, those officers. He's just trying to help. He just wants to make a difference. And take up the what? The fifth part. What does that mean? Take up one fifth. That means take up 20%. They weren't Jews, but they already gave tithe to the Pharaoh. So he's telling the Pharaoh to actually take 20%. He's actually saying, I want your people to give 20% instead of 10%. I want them to give a double tithe. This is what I want you to do, Pharaoh. This is the plan. I want you to have the people give a double tithe. Okay? A double tithe, or a fifth part of the land, meaning the crops, meaning their increase, of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. I want you to have them give a double tithe during the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all of the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, meaning in control of the government, and let them keep the food in the city. So they will have these storehouses in each city. Not one central storehouse, but a storehouse in each city. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine. So I want you to have your people give 20%, and I want you to store that away, because when the famine comes, now you're going to have that, right? Makes sense. Which shall be in the land of Egypt, that is the famine, and the land perish not through famine. So I want you to take that double tithe, that 20%, I want you to store it away during the good times so that you can have it for the tough times, right? Amen. Amen. Verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. Thank God he had good advice. Ooh, it's a blessing to have good advice, and somebody eats it up. Says, oh my goodness, thank you so much. I'm ready to rock and roll. Sign me up. It's not that often, just so you know. But this thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, now he's already asked, hey guys, can we have anybody like that around? Now, we don't know what their answer was, but he immediately checks himself right after that. And Pharaoh said, wait a minute, Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, you've shown us all this stuff, there is none so discreet, meaning crafty, and wise as you. You've shown us all this. So thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Everything else, you the man. He didn't ask to be the man. He just wanted to help. He just wanted to apply his gifts. He said, wait a minute, you understand all this. I'm going to put you in charge. He said, you told me to put all these people in charge, and I'm putting you in charge. So if you want to pick people to help you, fine. But I'm trusting you. Amen? He says, you will be over my house, and thy word shall be all my people. Shall they be ruled only in the throne? Will I be greater than you? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And after that, he took a signet ring off, which means you put that, you emboss something with that. He's bound by what you said. You have the signature power. You have power of attorney. Hallelujah. That's some good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's move on over to verse 49 real quick. And Joseph gathered corn. So this is after they did what he told them to do. He did the 20% each year. He gathered corn as the sand of the sea. This is how much corn there was. Very much until he left numbering. It was just too many to count. Too much to count. And it was without number. So this is as a result of doing what he said. This is the return that happened. Amen? Amen? Amen. You want to have so much money in your bank account that you can't even count it. Or you want to, well, you don't even look. You get to the point you don't even, when is payday? What's the balance? You know, when things are tough, you look at every penny. What am I getting paid? How much? When can I pay that bill? Oh, you get to the point. Numbers. What you got? I got numbers. That's all there are, is zeros and ones, by the way. There really are only numbers, right? But I got numbers in the, I got numbers, and then they turn into stuff. And then I eat the stuff, and I wear the stuff, and I live in the stuff, and I drive the stuff, and I give the stuff. And just numbers and stuff. As opposed to controlling your life. I'm getting somewhere. So then we get to verse 55 through 57, and then we'll almost be done. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, so now they've had the years of good, right? And now they're famished. The people cried out to Pharaoh because they're hungry now. All right? So that means this famine is real. They don't have food. Now, he took 20%, remember? Instead of 10. So twice the tithe. And now they're hungry. They're asking him for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he says to you, that is what you should do. So remember, all these years of good are gone. So the only food is in the storehouse of the government. That's right. Pharaoh's storehouse, the storehouses that Joseph set up. Amen. It says in verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. So the famine was not just in Egypt. Come on now. The famine wasn't just in Egypt. It was all the surrounding places as far as they knew, the world that they knew. All over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and he did what? Sold unto the Egyptians. How can he sell unto the Egyptians? Where did they get the money from? And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries, this is verse 57, and all countries came into Egypt to who? Joseph. So you think about his dreams. Remember his dreams? Yep, his dreams were real, and this is exactly the fulfillment of it. Unto Joseph to do what? To buy corn. Because that the famine was so bad in what? All the land. So this is not just about Egypt. God sent Joseph to Egypt, not just to bless himself, not just to bless Egypt, but to bless the world. He was a Nobody. He got sold into slavery. He was put in jail for something he really didn't do. And then this is the way it ends up for him, though. All right, then, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Hallelujah. What we're doing here, this is we're just going to use this as a case study to look at Joseph's crazy plan. I want you to get a double tithe from them, and I want you to do that for 7 years. Again, I staple it would be better, but we're going to use, you see what Pastor does on top of working and babysitting and all that sort of stuff? He does not look for excuses. There's no stapler, no excuses. The computer won't read the information properly so we can display it. No excuses. Are you with me? So Joseph's 1/10 double tithe plan. So you can see there what a normal year's supply is after the tithe, because they always gave a tenth. So after the tithe, they still have, so if they gave a double tithe, they still had 90% of what they would have had. When you give a tithe, you have 90% left, right? Now, if you give another 10%, you're going to have about 90% of what you started with. You could probably get along with that, right? If I said you're going to eat 90% of what you eat right now, would you be? You probably, it's a good diet, actually. You can live with that. Amen? Hallelujah. So hopefully you can see the visual depiction of that. Year one, year two, year three, all during the plentiful years, they'd be all right. They're not really struggling. It's plentiful. Let's go to the next page. Still talking about Joseph's 1/5 double tithe plan. So here's the deal, though. So what you're storing away is 20% or 1/5, right, of what you would normally have in a year. So during that year, when you give that extra away, you're living off about 90% of what you would anyway, because you give 10% anyway. But the problem is that 20% each year for 7 years, now you got 7 years to struggle through. Are you going to be able to subsist on that 20%? Could you live off of 20% of the calories that you eat right now? Could you get through? Is the point, right? Hallelujah. So now let's go to the third. Maybe you eat too much, so maybe you could live off of 20%. So here's the point. The only way this works, here's what we're missing. Our part was the 20%. The government part was to accept the 20% tithe. What was missing, it would not work just by that obedience alone. What we're missing is, in order for the thing to work as Joseph described it, you have to have a bountiful blessing from God only. So ultimately, what you have to have is 5 times the crop yield so that the 20% equals enough to take care of a year in the future. So year one, for year one to be enough for year eight, you actually have to have at least 5 times as much crop yield. That's the kind of blessing that God has associated with Joseph's explanation. Now, we don't know if Joseph knew all of this. He just said, look, get a double tithe and put it in the storehouse, and then, all right, then you'll be good. But you're not good unless God's in the equation. You can't just be, okay, let me just do, unless God's in it. So God tells you to do something. If somebody knows the math really good, they'll see exactly what we saw on the second page. That's not so smart. Well, you're forgetting the very important part. What God is going to do is he's going to cause it during the good years for the crops to be at least 5 times what they normally are. Now look at what it looks like. Now all of a sudden you give a double tithe. Now it's 20%, right? But 20% of, so that 20% equals enough each year for you to take care of year one, takes care of year eight, year two, takes care of year nine, year three, takes care of year 10, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So your living is good because he's blessed you this much. The double tithe works out, doesn't it? Let's go to the next page. So here's what really happens in a double tithe plan when God does his part. Not only do you have your more than enough, not only do you have enough, and on top of that you pay your double tithe, you got a whole bunch left over. You got a bunch of surplus. Now, is that surplus so that you can build more barns? Luke? Is it so that you can build more barns? Or is it for you to be a blessing? So not only do you have enough during the years of plenty, but you give your double tithe. You got a bunch left over. Why do I put dollar signs there? You'll see that on the next page. Because the government's experience during the years of plenty is that they receive the 20% that you know is not enough to sustain them in years 8 through 14. But what the government does is it takes in the 20% and it buys from the people all of their extra surplus. You see what I'm saying? So now this is why Joseph is like, man, I got more than the sands of the sea. I stopped counting. Because not only has he got the 20%, that's easy to count, but now he's got all of this increase from at least 5 times the normal yield. At least. So they bought up the surplus. That's why you go to the prior page and you see those dollar signs. So the people, I got enough, and I'm giving to God twice what I used to, and I got on top of that. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I have plenty. I'm giving twice what I gave before, and I got a bunch left over. Why? Because I primed the pump with the desire, the gushing desire to give more. So this is the government's experience during the plenty. Let's go to the next page. So now it's famine time. And here's what happens with the government. The government has the Egypt supply because, remember, they were able to put away a whole year's supply in year one, another year's supply in year two, another year's supply in year three. And then on top of that, they bought all the surplus. So they got more than a year's supply. So they've got all of the supply to take care of Egypt on the bottom. And they got all this excess supply that they can sell to who? Everybody else. Hallelujah. Let's go to the last page. So now, during the famine, what are the people's experience? We just talked about the government's experience. Joseph's purpose is fulfilled. You want your purpose to be fulfilled? And his family is reunited. That was God's intended purpose, to get the Jews to Egypt and also to feed the world through this man and his purpose and his obedience and his gifts. There was plenty of money for the people to purchase the food from the government. Where did they get it? The government sold the food to them. And if they sell it at the same price, the people have money left over. Because they had 3 circles worth of money. And they only need 1 year of food each year. So guess what? The people have money left over after they gave the double tithe and everybody got taken care of. And then finally, the people knew that God has helped them through Joseph. So they get to know that God is real and that he helps you and that he does it through people, which is what we talked about last week. So if you looked at today's terms, this is the last page. It's about relationship, not money. However, if you give more to God, he turns the impossible into unbelievable, mind-blowing abundance. So if you have $5,000 a month of salary and you give a tithe, you're pretty proud about your $500. But after God is through with you, and you have $25,000, and now your tithe is, double tithe is 20%, now you're giving $5,000. Your total income became your tithe. Come on now. Come on now. Your old income became your tithe. That's some serious stuff. And you got a bunch left over, way more than you normally would have. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. So, the question is, who gave more, them or God? God gave more. That's part of the humility. I'm going to give. If I give a double tithe, I'm going to live 11%, 12%. If I give 20%, I'm still not giving more than God. You can't beat him giving. So I'm going to give more, but I'm going to end up with more than more. So here's the take-home bottom line. The more you give, the more you'll have to give. That's how it works. The more you give. How much, Pastor? The more you give, the more you'll have to give. It's got to come out of the right place. But how much, Pastor? That's between you and God. But the more you give, the more you'll have to give. And the more you have, the more you'll give. The more you give, the more you'll have to give. And the more you have, the more you will give if your desire is to give more. I'll say it again. The more you give, the more you'll have to give. The more you have, the more you'll give if your desire is to give more. And if you're still struggling with it, don't worry about what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Pick one. And do something. Well, forgive. And pick one and do something. Pick one and just give more. And you won't be able to beat God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Amen.